Recording. Okay, amazing. How's everyone doing? Awesome. Okay, so let's get to it. Back to the Malachos. So Zorabora and Merakid, really just off the bat, they're like all the same, right? If we wanted to talk about all of them, they're all about separating the good stuff and the bad stuff out of the good stuff and getting the good stuff. So why are they all different malachos, right? So the Gemara is bothered by this also, right? If I were to sort of give you a one word, if I was trying to encapsulate all these malachos, right? By Zora, I would say separating, right? Removing the excess, the refuse, the psoles from the food, and Borer, I'd also say that, and by Merakid, I'd also say that. So see, there's some sort of individual sentence that you could say about each one, sort of to differentiate, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But really, just sort of off the bat, it's very hard to say why would we consider them fundamentally different, right? In the fine text, maybe there's a difference, but shouldn't one of them just be an av and all the rest be some sort of toldah? So the so. Sorry, it sounds like someone's beating up some children outside, which is not a good thing for people to be doing. The Gemara says like this: Hazora habora v'atochim v'hamerakid, haynu zora, haynu borer, haynu merakid. They're all the same, right? What's pshat? So Abaye v'Rava da Amri Travaihu, kol milsa da havyu b'mishkan, aval gav di'ika didamyala, chashivla. So Abaye and Rava both say anything that was in the Mishkan, even though there's another malacha that's similar to it, right? Nonetheless, chashivla is nechshav a malacha. Nami kodesh. Okay, so why don't we count also ketisha, which is when you take the barley, the grain, and you squish it so that the bran falls out, right? Because an ani eats his bread without, without crushing it. So basically, the difference is whether or not you have bran, right? Is it white flour or whole wheat flour? Okay, so an ani, right? Or I guess most modern people who are health conscious, right? Eat it without removing the bran, and therefore. It doesn't get counted as a separate malach. Okay, so Rashi point. So what's chat here? It's a little bit strange, right? They're all the same. So the answer is oh, kol milsa da havi b'mishkan af agav de'ika de'damiyala chashivla. If it happened in the Mishkan, then even if there's something similar, we're still going to count it as a malacha. What's interesting is A, right? Hainu means they're exactly the same, right? They're the same thing. Damula is the word dome, is similar, right? So he kind of switched from it them being exactly the same to since they're in the Mishkan, even though they're similar, we're going to count them separately. Okay, just like us, I think that's an important diyuk because, right, this is the first initial sort of statement of the Gemara is mashma. They're all exactly the same. But they all happen separately in the Mishkan, and therefore they're all going to count separately as malachos. And like if we chayiv three chataos, just because, right? The lashon of the Gemara, though, right? Kol milsa d'havi Mishkan af agav de'ika d'damyala chashivla. I feel like it's just important because it's shifted already to saying they're not exactly the same. In the question, we said, oh, they're all exactly the same. Why are we counting them? And the answer is, even though they're very similar. Since each one happened in the Mishkan, we're going to count them separately, right? We already shifted from them being the same to them just being similar, okay? Then that's an important linguistic nuance that points to something broader, and that something broader is that we could end shiur right now and say, okay, that was fantastic. They're all exactly the same. There's no difference between them, and it's exactly tough luck, right? That's they were in the Mishkan, right? The two reasons why we're going to start, being mapalpa about what's the difference between them. One is, even if that's totally true, they're three different avos malacha, right? So if I do one of them, am I automatically chayiv in all three? Right? Clearly not. If I do, I assume not, right? Presumably, if I don't know, I have a pile of stuff and I pick out the rocks, I have some grain, I have some kernels of grain, and there are some rocks in it, and I pull them out, probably I'm chayiv on borer, not on zoreh. If I actually winnow, I probably am chayiv because of zoreh, not borer, right? I'm assuming. So at some point, even if I want to say that they're totally the same, I need some sort of even arbitrary way of defining when I do a malacha, which one it's going to be, right? Unless you sort of say automatically, anytime you do any of these, you're automatically chayiv for three of them. That'd be very, I think that'd be very difficult, right? So there's got to be some sort of difference. And number two is that the Gemara's answer, and I think this is really much more meaningful, is that they're not exactly the same, right? I wouldn't have necessarily assumed that they're going to be three different malachos, but once they are, right? Once I know that they actually are different. They're similar, but there are important differences between them, and each one count is a separate malacha. Right? And the fact that there was in the Mishkan, even though they're similar, we're going to emphasize the differences and the importance of each one. So that's what I'm gonna focus in on, and I'm using this diak of didamyala to show that the Gemara thinks that as well. Right? That you can start going into lamdas about like what's the difference between them. And it's not just, oh, a technical, we need some way to decide whether or not you're doing A or B, because even though they're similar, the fact that they're separate avos, even though we're learning that out from the Mishkan, is giving them significance. Okay, now, with that in mind, right, so Rashi says, v'hainu, they're all the same, kamo hainihu, klomar, demaflig luhutana demasitzen leklas, v'alo kula melach achas, demafresh ocho men apsol. So you're separating out the food from the psol. Yes. Afagav di ika achriti bahada de damyala chashiva le travayu kavos afagav de chadanin. Okay, so here the lashon of Rashi kind of takes the didamya and puts it back into de chadanin, right? Which sounds like really fundamentally they're all the same. Okay, which is not actually necessarily so good for our diuk. Right, it's the same as dash, right? Disha is taking the food out of its husk, so taking it out of the bran is this going to be part is a tolda of taking it out of the husk, right? Of threshing. The hanami mifar kamal, it's removing the outer clothing, right? We've seen this Rashi a few times in the dash days. Okay, shekin ani ochel pita bulok disha, and ani eats his raisin bran as raisin bran and not as like raisin, severely processed white flakes. Lakach, afa gav dehavi b'mikdash, even though in the mikdash they did ktisha, right, and this kind of just sort of is proof that there's something more fundamental going on, because ktisha also happened in the Mishkan, right? What was our answer? Ktisha happened in the Mishkan, but it's not as important, because you could get away without it. Okay, but they still did it, right? So clearly, right, there's something more than just the fact that it was in the Mishkan. So avogav dehavi Mishkan, va'av malachahu, it is part of an av malacha, right? It's part of kibun de tanala dash lo tanala. It's part of dash. V'zora bora merakid sidura de pasnin. Okay? Zora bora and merakid are different. They're because they're part of the sidura de pas. What's on here? Sorry. It says that as well. Right? They're part of the process of making bread. V'kivan dehavu b'mikdash, they're part of the process of having bread, and they were in the mikdash. Right? Rashi kind of added in that sidur the pas bit, which the Gemara didn't say. Kivan dehavu b'mikdash, v'hacha atchil b'sidur de pas. And here, right, we're going according to the order of sidur de pas. So we mention them. Kedamrin agabe ofe. The havle limisni mevash of lo ofel ofed lo haviyav mikdash ella misum sidur de pas naket vaasa. But because the tana is counting things based on the order of making bread, he counts them. Howil vaofed the pas b'mishkan b'kimevash b'samanim. That's why the tana dafka mentions ofed instead of bishul, because really what they did in the Mishkan was mostly bishul, but we count ofed because we're talking about making bread. Is weird, right? Because it sounds like he's saying, oh, that's about how we're counting what we're listing, but in Hanami, sounds like they're really malachos, right? It's bothering Rachel. About Ketisha, Ashirim who deletiti, Vikachi, Vlaso Solas Nikia, right? They make white flour. About Aniam Lo Tarchi, they don't make the effort of getting whole wheat, right? Venhafahu, Hilkach, Lo Tanala, Umihu Vadai Av Melachahi, Ubechlau Dashu. But obviously it's Av Melacha and it's part of Dash, right? But since it's not a necessary part of Sidur of the past, it doesn't count it. The Rashi here sounds almost like, you're right, in a Hanami, like they shouldn't really be separate avos, but the Tana is dafka listening sidur of the past. Now, there are two ways to deal with this, right? One way is to say that, yeah, they're all avos. Maybe let's say we were talking about Rabbi Lazar. The shita of Rabbi Lazar is that you can, there's no difference really between avos and toldos so much, right? Except like the question of chashivas, except of like, you know, trying to keep track of everything. But fundamentally, if you do, no matter how many times you do one of the malachos, you're chayiv for each one. There's no p'tur of tolda b'makom av. Okay? So according to Rabbi Lazar in Hanami, like, why pick some things to be avos and some things to be toldos? So the Tana is just going to list, you know, things according to Sidur the past. What's the problem? This problem is also the Mishnah of the Chachamim, right? If you want to take that explanation, you would have to say that if you did Zora, Bora, and Meraki together, according to Chachamim, you're not Chayiv 3, or according to Chachamim, you are Chayiv 3, but you would also be Chayiv 2 if you did Kotesh and Dash. Right? It seems pretty clear in the Gemara that that's not true. So what Rashi must be saying is what? I think. What's Rashi going for? Rashi says, oh, Sidur de Pas Naka.
The way Ari and I tried to phrase it was that the action being done in the Mishkan makes you chayav for it, but the Sidura Depot frames the categories for chiyuv.
Okay, very good. I like that. Can you, do you want to like expound, extrapolate?
Right, so then we were kind of stuck with the question of why would anyone bother with the Sidura Depot? And I'm not sure that we came up with such a satisfying answer. What was our answer? Ari, do you remember what our answer was?
Well, do you mean extrapolate on like why Sidur Depot is like important, or just like on how that answer sort of comes to play?
No, like why would the Sidur Depot be like so pivotal? I mean, you're saying like this: in order to be say something as a malacha, right? And just like malachas machsheves, being in the Mishkan is like you know, big check mark, fantastic, right? When I'm trying to determine what the categories of types of malacha are, right, I'm going to define that based on Sidur Depas, right? I can take a step back from the Mishkan and say, ah, Sidur Depas, that's really what I care about. Right, now the question is, okay, why?
Right. So I had like a fake sort of symbolic answer more than anything else, that Sidur Depas and like making bread is like the ultimate creative action and the ultimate like malacha process that we can do on like that shows that like we can create things. We're taking a natural wheat and doing all these different things to it and coming out with something that's greater than that, coming out with something that's bread. So we specifically say that on Shabbos that our malacha should stop us from doing this like ultimate creative action. So we base it off of making bread. So that's why Sidur Depot is like important in that case.
Great. Exactly. I think that's 100% correct, right? When we think about malachos, what do humans need, right? Food, shelter, clothing, right? Or is clothing part of shelter? It's good kasha, right? Like portable shelter, right? Food, clothing, shelter, right? Those three, right, are pretty big, generally, you know, a big deal. If you look at the malachos basically mostly go according to that structure. There are different ways of grouping the malachos, but essentially the main, you know, approach is to basically say, look, you know, everything, Sidur Depas is the process of making food, right? It's making food, manufacturing food, producing food. There's a Sidur Debeged, which is all the things involved in making clothing. And then you have all the things that are involved in building and making a shelter. And if you put all that together, right? Then what we're trying to say is like there are these fundamentally important creative actions about, that are involved in humans, right? So like taking control of their environment, right? We can create food, we can create shelter, we can create clothing. And all of that going together, right, is essentially the core elements of malacha, right? Of human creativity, right? As opposed to like God created the world, you know, in 6 days, and the seventh he rested. So during our Sheshes Yemei HaMasa, right, we imitate that. We create our own world, or we take control of the world. And the seventh day, you can't do that, right? All these things that are involved in taking control of the world. Sidur Depas is exactly that. It's about making, manufacturing, and producing food. And that ability to, right, bring things from the, you know, from the plants that are connected to the ground and growing in the field, and bring that into something that's manufactured and edible is tremendously creative. And things that are necessary parts of that process, right, are going to be more significant because, right, they are, right, a necessary part of creating food. Yeah. Ari, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to add on. I think Rav Liebtag once gave a shiur about like Shabbos about this, and he pointed out also that those three things that you mentioned, like creating food and shelter and clothing, those are also three like the main characteristics that set humans apart from animals. Like animals don't create food, they don't manufacture food, they don't wear clothing, they don't have shelter, they like are relying on nature. So Shabbos is sort of putting us back in the category of just like any other of Hashem's creation.
Okay. Right. So I think that's perfect. I think that's exactly what's going on here. Right. I think Rashi says, oh, the time is not got to do it. The past is saying for the time that doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have like, oh, like in the Mishkan, this one was more important than the other, because Kodesh is in the Mishkan, right? It's necessary in the Mishkan that they did it. There are actually some Shittas, right, who are more bothered by the Kodesh in the Mishkan, and they try to say like, oh yeah, but like it wasn't so important in the Mishkan, they didn't really need it. Rashi's saying it was there in a Hanami. It's in Av. It's definitely an Av Malacha because it's a real Malacha. I did in the Mishkan. It was important in the Mishkan. But in terms of the categories are based on, right, what is really necessary, what the stages of necessary production and manufacture of food. Now, we're going to have to ask ourselves is there a fundamental difference between them in the process of manufacturing food? Or, right, so one is in the creative structure. Is there some sort of creative difference between them? Or even if you say there's no creative difference between them, what could differentiate them? Why could we still say, oh, but it's still important? Because agriculturally they're different, right? Agriculturally they're necessary in different stages. Right? So if I agriculturally need Zora, Bora, and Merakade, even if they're really fundamentally the same thing, right? But obviously they're different stages of agricultural processing or production or manufacture already, right? And that sort of gray zone between the production and manufacturing stages of the grain, is that going to be, right, going to be our defining, enough of a defining difference to say, look, you can't do that. You know, this is happening now. This is going to happen later in the process after you already did ma'amil, after you already did tchina for, right, meraki. So because they're different and they need to happen in different stages and in different places and different stages of the grains processing, that's enough agriculturally to separate. Or do you need to say that somehow there's also some more fundamental distinction? Okay, so just if we look at the other Rishonim, it's a little bit bigger. Okay, and if we, so okay, so great. So Rashi, I think, is good. And obviously, right, by Ketisha, right, what's the important difference? That it's not necessary, right? Bread and whole wheat bread are both bread. Some people even prefer whole wheat bread, right? So we can't say that, oh, there's a necessity for Ketisha, for getting rid of the bran in order to make bread, and that gives it its own defining significance, okay? The Ritva also, right, goes, he's also bothered by this, you know, by this problem. He says, Yesh lomar, de lo damu, de havu bechlal, oh, he says, oh, 1 second, sorry. He talks about shovet as being part of Mesach. It's all about like adjusting the strings on, and when you're making a baguette. V'lo manu medaktik b'nei shu bechlal oreg. Yesh lomar, he says, wait a second, but those also happened in the Mishkan. Yesh lomar, de lo damu, de havu bechlal oreg. Umesach mamish, v'tikun v'hechsher shalahem. He says, no. Those are exactly the same thing. There's no difference between these different, right? They're all about straightening the string. So you're doing is you're straightening the string. Aval elu kol achas omedes b'fnei atzma. Each one is distinct. Why? Dizore lebeirur ha'afar v'hakashin ubore lito hatzvoros mirakid lito hamorsa. Ukedipirish rashi says because why? Zore is about getting rid of the dirt and the straw. Borer is about getting rid of the rocks, and mirakid is about removing the bran from the flour. Okay. So what? So you're operating on different objects, right? As opposed to the oreg case by the beged, where you're operating on the same object and you're doing the same action. Right? You're straightening the threads and you're operating on the threads. So what's the ritva saying here, at least in this first one, before we get to the inami? Yeah, Ari?
They're different actions, different malachot, so that's why they're categorized separately.
Right, but why? I mean, what's the defining difference? What really matters?
I guess, like, what you're taking out of the good stuff, like, what you are taking away and what you're leaving.
Right, what object you're acting upon, right? Sounds a little bit technical. So, fundamentally, what should be the reason why there are different malacha? And the answer is because agriculturally, right, there are different stages. They're on different acting on different objects, right? Agriculturally, they're very different, right? If you take, like, I don't know, if you go to a farmer and you say, oh, like, you know, did he do Borah yet? And he just did Zoreh, he'd say, like, oh, of course not. He'd be like, no, I meant Zoreh. Right? I think he would look at you as, like, an alien and be like, you know, like, I don't know. You urban hoodlum, you get out of here. You don't know anything, right? Because they operate on totally different objects, right? The grain itself is sort of like in totally different stages between Zoreh and Borer and Merakit, right? If you ask him, oh, did you winnow it when the guy's grinding in and about to sift it, right? We're just talking about different things. It's a totally different stage. It's a totally different relationship to the flower and to the psoles. Okay? Now, oh, this is Gishmak, though, because then he says, inami. There's a different Rashi, right, who says, what's the difference between all of them? Which we're going to get into in a minute. Kidipirish Rashi zal, sheze beruach, vize biyad, vize bekli. The end result is the same, right? What's constructive about it is that you have separated, right? But it's not that the object that you're acting upon is different, right? And then therefore, agriculturally, there's a significant difference. Are you doing it to the grain in different stages or you're doing it to, you know, different psoleses? But that the action itself is different, right? One is about, is harnessing the wind. One is you pull out the rocks with your hand, and the other is you use a specialized sifting tool, okay? So the actions are actually different, right? What you accomplish is separation, but the action involved, the creative concepts involved are different in that you're using different means in order to separate. So one's separating by the wind, one is separating by hand, and one is separating using a kli, right? So actually, in terms of the creative action, they're different creative actions, because even though the end result is the same creative end result of separating good from bad, right? How you do it is actually different, right? Now, I wouldn't have given so much significance to the difference of the tools you're using necessarily, right? If not for the fact that they're all in the Mishkan, right? But Kamash Malan, that now I do think, now I, you know, I'm a Kabbalah that those are significant. Now, how significant, right? What do we say about Zoreh? Zoreh v'aruach misayasa. Remember that, Gemara? Right? We were back in the Grama days. So we said Zoreh v'aruach misayasa. Maybe that shouldn't be a malacha at all because it's Grama, right? So some Shito said, and actually, it's not Grama. Other Shito said it is Grama, and the Torah says you're chayav on Grama by Zoreh because that's Zoreh. if the only malacha was borer, I think you'd be putter on Zohar Baruch Mesayaso, right? Because either we would say that's not considered malachas machsheves because it's only, you know, it's that shouldn't be considered ma'is bidan, that should be considered grama, or we'll say it is grama and you're putter on grama, right? Zohar teaches us either that this is not considered grama, or it says even though it is grama, you're still chayiv because you harness the wind, right? So what we're saying is actually, oh, I wouldn't have thought that these are different. Kamash Malan, they are different. They're different actions, and each one's going to teach me something different, right? For example, Zebek Kli teaches me that, oh, using a Kli for Borer to separate is much more significant, right? Even though, let's say, I don't know, you would say it happens in Mela, right? You put everything inside this sifter, and then it's, you know, the good stuff just falls right through, and the bad stuff gets stuck. Okay, right? Maybe that shouldn't be a Malacha. Right, the fact that you're using a kli to do it, you have a specialized device, makes it more problematic. Right, that's I think an important chiddush. Right, so each one of these, like Borer teaches us, oh, general separation, but Zohar teaches us that separation using by harnessing an outside force, and Merake teaches us that, you know, if the separation is being effected, right, through a device, a specialized device that makes it more chayiv than in cases where you might have thought that, oh, just I poured it into a kli and, you know, the separation happened all by itself. Okay. Right? For example, that's just a sharper example. I don't know, like you take a Turkish coffee and you pour it into a drip filter, right? So you have coffee, you have the stuff, you poured it in, and then the drip, and then it filters itself almost by itself, right? You're not separating there and like pulling things apart. But the fact that you put it into the kli already is machai, right? So I think each one of these, or at least according to this take of the Ritva, is I would have thought that they'll all just lump them all together. Kamash Malan, each one has a very special distinction, which is chayiv and is considered a malach. Okay. So the Ritva here, I just wanted to point out, the Ritva here sort of goes into what, like, why isn't Kotesh going to be counted, right? Like, what about Merakid? Merakid, like, you don't really need to do Merakid either, maybe, right? And then he goes into, like, different types of Ani, and, like, things like that. So you see, he's, like, he's very bothered by the question of, like, well, why don't we count Kotesh? So it's just like an interesting, detail in there. The Ran and the Miuchas L'Ran also have similar shitos, right? The Miuchas L'Ran is really Talmud of the Ra'a. So the Ran says something, and I think this is actually very significant. Let's see if I can find the line. Oh yeah, sorry. This is the Miuchas L'Ran I want to show you, but just here in the Ran also, he's bothered by the Ketisha thing, and he's like, no, but maybe we really should count Ketisha if they did it in the Mishkan. And then he says, oh, maybe people aren't so makbid on Ketisha of Samanim and of Ketisha of Pas, right? But he feels the need to bring it into the question of the Samanim, the dye that they are actually cooking in the Mishkan. Right? I mean, according to the way Rashi presents it, we don't really care about the dye, right? According to the Ritva also, he doesn't mention the fact, the dyeing process in the Mishkan, right? He doesn't mention the fact that in the Samanim, I don't think he mentions in the Samanim that there's like a chisaron in the Ketisha, okay? The Ran is bothered, but he says, that's all fine and good by Pass, but what's the real malacha by the Mishkan? The bishul of the Samanim, right? But in the Samanim, you do need to peel off all the extra, no? He says, oh, must be not. Right? Rashi's not bothered by that. Right? You notice that difference? I picked it up like last night. But according to the Ran, he's bothered by the fact that it's all very fine and good that we're telling you that an ani right? Eats whole wheat, but the Mishkan was really dealing with cooking dyes to dye wool. So who cares about the fact that Aniyim eat whole wheat bread, right? And then he says, oh, it must be like the just like there. It's also true there. Rashi's not bothered by that. And I think the answer is, if you're arguing based on its relationship to the Mishkan, so you need to explain why in the Mishkan it wasn't important. Rashi's saying, I think, that no, it's a question of the Sidur that passes the defining feature. It's a creativeness in, right, creating, let's say, human mastery over their environment, over their food, their shelter, and their clothing. That's what really matters. And that's what's going to define what the Avos are, independent of what was in the Mishkan, like what Ari was saying. Right? The run here is kind of like having to bring it back to what happened in the Mishkan in our defining what's an Av and what's a Tolda, and what doesn't count as a separate Av, which is like a subcategory. Right? While Rashi doesn't even feel the need to bring it back to the Mishkan in order to explain that. So I think it just highlights what Ari was saying, that like the actual Avos is a din dafka in the, is dafka more a din in the Sidur of the past, and not really dependent on the Mishkan, even though what's going to be considered Malacha is. Okay. The Miyuchas Laran adds in an interesting Tanai. Okay, here. Kasav Hara'a, the lo dami lezore ubara marakich, and in a mishlosha, the hasam shlashton srichin bidavar echad, avakan hecha di ise lahai, lesa lahai. It's asking about zorea and notea, planting and, so why don't we count separately planting trees and planting grains? So he says, oh, because either you plant a tree or you plant grains, right? Those are in different objects. But Zora Merakid, you do to the same objects, right? So Dafka, you would have thought the opposite, no? You would have thought Dafka, the fact that they happen on different objects should make them different malachos, no? That's what I would have assumed, right? I don't know. Is that, that's just me? I would assume that the fact that they're like, by definition, acting upon different objects should be more of a reason to distinguish. So the Ra'ah says, no, you're totally messed up. You're totally wrong, right? Why? Because if you're planting, so you're planting trees, you're planting other stuff, it doesn't really matter, right? But Zora and Bora and Meraki, you have to do to the same stuff, right? What does that show? It shows that they're not the same thing. Otherwise, you don't have to do one of them, right? The Hasam Shlashtan Tsurichin Bedavar Echad, right? Avalkan Hecha de Ise Lahai, Leise Lahai, Vikulan Inyan Nitio Zurahin. This is, it's all there. It's because you need to do it to the same thing that you see it. There's separate stages in the process. Right? And this brings us back to our idea that when there's something that's separate stages in the process, each one is accomplishing a different part of the process. So they gain extra significance as part of the agricultural process, out of part of the manufacturing process, part of the fact that they're creating food, right? When it's something that isn't actually necessarily distinct, you don't have to do it separately, right? Notea and Zorea is the beginning of planting a plant. Tree plants, right? Vegetable plants. Okay. Right? It's the same thing. It's just a different object. But winnowing and separating and sifting all have to happen on the same thing at separate stages. Zeh or zeh. Actually, I think there's a line in like the Ritva. I thought there's a line in the Ritva that says like that you have to do each one after the other. Oh, I have to look for it later and I'll send it out maybe. Where is that? A really nice line where he says, like, oh, it has to be, these ones have to be bezeh or zeh. Since you have to do them one after the other after the other. So you see, like, they're clearly, like, you know, independent stages in the process. Okay, anyway, let's get that. Fine. So far, so good. Right? Again, now, going back to what we saw in the Ritva, so, like, okay, fine. We decided that they're separate, right? Either they're separate because they're separate stages in the process, or because they actually accomplish and, you know, they accomplish something different. Or a third option is that in terms of the creative action you're doing, they're different in terms of the malachas machsheves side of things, right? Why? So if it's in terms of Rashi in the Mishnah says, what is Zoreh? Zoreh is borachas leruach. The emphasis is that you're harnessing the wind. Borah is psolas biyadav. You're using your hand, you're physically separating them. And merakid is benafe, using a seed. Okay? So for Rashi in the Mishnah, the emphasis is that the actions that you're doing are different actions, right? You're harnessing different tools. You're just using your hands, right? Borah is sort of like the basic, catch-all of borer. And then there's borer by harnessing the wind or doing it using a specialized device, right? But Rashi elsewhere says the difference between zorah, borer, merakid is zebekashin, zebetsoros, zebekemach, right? You're acting upon the grain at different stages, on different things. One is you're getting rid of the straw, one is you're getting rid of the rocks, and one is you're actually sifting the flour, okay? So which one's the ikar? Which one really defines the difference? Right? Now, an interesting idea is, right, Rashi's kind of saying both. So which one's defining? Rashi over here, on Ayin Hey, is using it to explain why they're different malachos. Rashi on the Mishnah is trying to describe what the malachos are. So I think you could argue that what Rashi's saying is this. I know that they're separate malachos because they're separate in the Sidur of the past. They act upon different things. Now, once that's true, once they're separate malachos, what defines each one is that they're actually separate creative actions, right? I know that they're significant independently because they act upon different objects, different stages, and therefore each one is inherently significant. But what makes each one inherently significant is actually that they're different creative actions. One is harnessing the wind, one is using a kli, and one is doing it by hand. Rabbeinu Chananel says, "Right, v'chein nakach yado adam tvua." He says, actually, no, because Zoreh is even if you just blow on it, right? So you're not harnessing an external force, right? It's using wind to separate. Right? And merakid is shematos ochel v'apsolas b'kivra. And then you can actually have the opposite, where if the psolas is ave, then right, depending on which way, what type of how big the food is and how big the sieve is, you know which one's going to go through. So for the Reino Chananel, the chap is that when it comes to merakid, any use of the kli is it's using the kli. For borer, it's about taking out the psolas, dafka the psolas, not the food, and. And Zoreh is anything that uses the wind, even if you blew on it yourself, to be separate. Okay, so just a little bit interesting that he thinks even using the wind, and that merakid is doesn't matter what order, what you're using the sieve to act upon, which we're going to see later is very significant. Okay, so for him, definitely what's important though is not what you're acting upon, right, but how you're doing it, right? Even using the wind that you made up yourself by blowing, but at the end of the day, right, the mechayev is separating by blowing or using the wind, separating by a hand versus separating with a kli, right? It's the implement being used that's the defining feature for Rabbeinu Chananel. Now the Meiri, like we were trying to say in Rashi, combines the two, right? Zoreh is using the ruach. Borer is with your hands. Merakid is with the nafeh, right? And why are they not the same? Because they're not shaveh. And lo bizman echad. Oh, here's the Miri says it's lo bizman echad. They don't happen at the same time. They have to happen at separate stages in time. Ube'inyan echad. And they're not on the same object either. El zebetevim v'zebetoros v'zebesubin. So I think the Miri is trying to say, actually, there are three levels of separation between them, right? In terms of the maisa, there's a different maisa malacha for each one. Right, one is about using the wind, one is using your hands, and one is using a kli. And, right, so there's no mice is not the same. They're not the same process in Sidur HaDepas, they're not the same stage of food development. Lo bizman echad. And you're acting upon different objects, right? So the mice is different, the totsa is different, and its significance towards your broader creativity is different. Now, what's interesting is also he's bringing in that all three of these different categories, right? The mice, the totsa, and what role it, what broader purpose it serves. Its broader purpose is different, the totsa is different, and the mice is different. And it's like very interesting. Miri is just trying to say like, oh, well, has like on each one of these levels some sort of difference that actually kamash malon, they're actually significantly different malachs. Okay. What about, this is just like an interesting, now let's just try to do a little bit of Zoreh, right? Now that we've like decided that they're all really fundamentally different. What are we going to say about Zoreh? Right? What defines Zoreh? Okay, Boreh we're going to spend a lot of time on, just like we're going to do a quick drive-by on Zoreh. Rashi says, right, Borachas, Rachi, throw it up to the wind. So the Minchas Chinuch says, that's only true, Zoreh ino rak bekli. You have to use like a winnowing, you know, like a pitchfork or something to throw it up to the wind, right? Ki perish Zoreh hu Borachas. Right. So he basically says, oh, it can't be you know, Zoreh unless you use a kli, which is very interesting. Like why is he defining that? Right? Rabbeinu Chanana, we saw, thought that you don't need a kli, you just blow on it. He wants to say that for Rashi, it's only if you use a special Zoreh kli. But the his basic understanding is what? There's like a all-encompassing av called borer, right? Borer includes all separating. If you do a very, very, very specific, you know, borer, if you do like a very specific borer using a kli and the wind, that's going to be zoreh. If you use like a sieve, then it's going to be meraki. But fundamentally, they're all really part of borer, right? And therefore, if you were masreh because of zoreh when you did the wind, but it actually you didn't use a kli, so you actually really needed to do Hasra Mishum Boreh. Okay? And if you did Mishum Zoreh, you wouldn't be Chayiv. So what the Minchas Chinuch is saying is that all this is really Boreh. Within Boreh, you have like two like very picante, very like specific subcategories. Right? According to what we've been saying until now, right, if you're using the wind, if you're harnessing the wind, I would have said, right, that's Zoreh, right? The Gufa, that's exactly what Zoreh is. It's by, you know, harnessing the wind, using the wind. Of course it's told of Zoreh. Right? So first of all, we saw Rabbeinu Chanana definitely says that. And we think that that's, you know, that's definitely the definition. That was, the Eglei Tal says this also. He says, no. Minchas Chinuch is totally off because the definition is about the using of the wind. And each one of these is a separate category. Okay? Now, what's also just like a interesting shita is the Me'iri says that Zoreh would include Kivra shenekaveha gasim lahafresh hateven min habar. Let's say you have like a really wide hold sieve, which only catches, so you put all the stuff in, okay? I actually think this is how we do it, bismaneinu, right? I think like a contemporary farming machine does this. You have like a, basically some sort of, you know, like grate with very big holes that are big enough that all the grain can fall in, but small enough that the straw can't fall through. Okay? So Rashi says, if you did that, that would also be Zoreh.
Sorry, Miri says that. How is Miri defining it then?
How do you define Zoreh?
Depends on what object, because you're in that stage of processing.
Exactly, right? For the Me'iri, what matters at the end of the day, what defines the borders between the different malachos is what object you're acting upon. If you're acting upon the straw, that's Zoreh. If you're acting upon the, you know, the rocks, that's Boreh. If you're acting upon the flower, that's Meraki. Right? It depends what you're acting upon. As opposed to Rabbeinu Chananel, who says what matters is what you're implementing, what tool you're making use of in order to accomplish this malacha, right? So it's about the malachas machsheves side of things, of like, oh, using the wind, are you harnessing the wind to do it? Are you like doing it by hand, or are you, you know, using a kli, right? very much the Machas Machshava side. The Me'iri is definitely going in the nodes, right? So more of the agricultural side of what object are you acting upon? Are you separating the straw? Are you separating, right, the rocks out? If you're separating the straw, that's Zoreh, right? So the emphasis, the defining feature is going to be, even though the Me'iri, right, tried to make sure that we knew that all three of those were different, both the Ma'isa, the Totsah, and the overall role that it plays in the process of production of food. Nonetheless, the defining feature, says the Me'iri, is where it is in the process of creating food, right? Not the creativity of it and the action, but on the its significance in creating food, right? And then sort of the Minchas Chinuch kind of says like, oh, it's like in the Maisa, right? But really, the Malacha is Borer, and there are these two very specific subcategories where you do the Maisa in a very specific way. Which it sounds like he's going back to the, you know, the Mishkan idea of, oh, what really matters most is what was significant in the Mishkan, right? And you know, fundamentally, they're all really just Borer. And therefore, if there's any slight change, it just automatically defaults back into the Borer category without being Zoreh or Merakit anymore. And so it's just like cool that, like, in terms of the defining lines of how you can do Zoreh, right, you have really all three options showing up. Of, oh, Mechasen is like, oh, it's like in Maisa, but like really, you know, just everything's part of Borer. And like, yeah, there's like a din that since they're Chashim and the Mishkan, they're going to be Zoreh and Merakit are going to count separately. But any slight change automatically defaults back to Borer because really it's about Borer, right? It's about separating. The Me'iri says, oh, it's about what role it plays in the production of food. And therefore, I care what I'm acting upon, not how I'm doing it. Even if I use a giant sieve, if I do the giant sieve on the straw, that's Zoreh, not Merakit. Right? And then Rabbeinu Hananel says, of course not. If you use the wind, that's Zoreh. If you use a giant sieve, that's going to be Merakit. Okay, now, just sort of like a total crazy sheet to add of left field, the Yushami has like a totally, totally, totally different approach. It's like very, very interesting. The Yushami says, Rakak ve'fricho aruach, you spit and the wind splatters it, right, into tiny pieces and it basically, you know, so it gets out of your way. Chayiv mishum Zoreh, you're chayiv because of Zoreh. V'chol davar shu mechusso l'ruach, Chayiv mishum Zoreh. Anything, right, that is missing the wind, and you harness the wind to do something, that's Zoreh. Now, this is mind-boggling, right, because, like, what you spit on a windy day, that's Zoreh, right? But the basic idea of the Yerushalmi, and this is really, like, fascinating and amazing, and it's a much more extreme version of what we said at the beginning of Shir, is that, what is Zoreh? It's harnessing the wind to accomplish something, right? You're using the wind to separate the straw away from your grain. Anytime, what's the creativity of it? Anytime you harness the wind in order to accomplish something, that's Zoreh, right? It's not about the fact that you manage to separate stuff. That's Borer, right? Zoreh is about harnessing the wind to accomplish something. So if you use the wind to accomplish Borer, so maybe you're doing Borer also, who knows? But the Ikar is that you're harnessing the wind. Now, whose sheet does this remind us of? When else do we have one of these, like, oh, that's like just creative, like Sir Chayiv sheetas? You remember? Where do we have something where, like, harnessing an energy source might be considered a malacha for no good reason? Just because it's like, so, like, oh, that's useful. You remember that?
Didn't Rav Asher Weiss speak about that?
Yes, exactly. And what was Rav Asher Weiss's shita?
We know it's creative. We can't really give it a good category. So it's Aser.
And therefore, and what malacha is it? Maka b'patish, right?
Maka b'patish.
And where did he get this? What was his makor for being able to do something like that? There's Yerushalmi, also Yerushalmi, who says that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were going through all the different malachos, and anything that they thought was creative, but they couldn't figure out what malacha it should be, they said, oh, it's part of Makib Patish. Right? So Rav Asher says, oh, Chashmal is part of Makib Patish. So if Rav Asher is really right, which I leave as a very big if, then it's actually the Yerushalmi basically Lishitasa, right? Which basically the Yerushalmi says, anytime something is very useful and very creative, so like, it's a malacha. So if it's just like objectively creative without any ma'isa malacha, that's ma'akeh b'patish, right? According to Rav Ashi. If you're harnessing the wind for a creative, a constructive purpose, oh, you just harnessed an energy source for something constructive. That's zoreh, right? So that's mind-boggling. It does work with that whole arc of thought that is actually something that either is the Yerushalmi or is blamed on the Yerushalmi, that there's something about like being creative, which is problematic in and of itself. Yeah, all right.
But don't we have like a lot of sugyas talking about like wind being grama and like you wouldn't be chaya for using it?
So, exactly. So, wait a second. Now that I just freaked you all out, you can't like spit on Shabbos. Obviously, we all like, you know, like you have a spittoon, right? So, like when you're outside, you don't have your spittoon there. So, what are you going to do? So, just so you know, first of all, just to freak you all out, it says the Rama, Harokik Baruch B'Shabbos, Vazorik Varuach Mefazer Harok, right? So, instead of being a big glob, it's like these little tiny particles that no one can see and spreads corona, right? Chai Mishum Zore. Your basic, you know, your aerosol cans, according to this, using aerosol deodorant should be a problem. Yeah, right? Real discussion. Can you use aerosol deodorant on Shabbos or any aerosol can? Because you're using the wind or air pressure to spread little droplets, aka, right? Aerosolizing something, right? Which is also how corona gets passed around. And according to the Yerushalmi, real b'shem Yerushalmi says that it's aser. So you can't spit in the wind, and you can't use aerosol cans because you're using the wind to aerosolize something. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has this whole tshuva where he says, "Nah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We don't pass like the and like the biggest thing was just like we don't pass like that Yerushalmi. That Yerushalmi is not the Bavli doesn't agree to that. Ari is totally correct. That is not consistent with the Bavli." The Bavli thinks that's wrong. The Bavli says that Zoreh is, you know, part of the Borer Melachos. There's nothing to do with harnessing the wind. And, you know, you might have a Chiddush that harnessing the wind is Aser when you're doing it to do Borer, but it's like not a thing. But so definitely the Maskana, okay, right? Zoreh, according to Bavli, according to us, is definitely one of the Borer Melachos. But what you see from this Yerushalmi is that maybe, right, at least the Yerushalmi has this Tfisa that sometimes things being useful or creative, even without any like ma'isa malacha, right, could be more problematic. Well, the Bavli definitely seems to think you need a ma'isa malacha. You need to be doing some sort of action that is a malacha and is creative and creates some sort of product in and of itself before it can be a malacha. Okay, so just the Bavli has this right, much more like, you know, specific definition. While it seems like the Yerushalmi, just like the Makeh B'Patish Yerushalmi, and this Yerushalmi seems to be like harnessing energy, doing something creative, even in a very sort of abstract sense, could be maybe considered a malacha. Okay, so that's about just a fascinating Yerushalmi. Okay, so next sugya is going to be Borer.